Well, today the House Judiciary Committee is moving towards contempt charges against Attorney General William Barr after Barr did not meet a 9 a.m. deadline for turning over Robert Mueller's unredacted Russia report. The Justice Department says House Chair Gerald Nadler's subpoena is overly broad, but here's Nadler this morning.
Compliance with congressional subpoenas is not optional, and if good faith negotiations don't result in a pledge of compliance in the next day or two, the next step is seeking a contempt citation against the Attorney General.
House Democrats are operating under a legislative subpoena system that gives lawmakers authority to investigate in order to pass laws. But our next guest says for stronger subpoena power, they need to start an impeachment inquiry, the process lawmakers use to decide if a president should be tried. Michael Conway was counsel to the House Judiciary Committee in the 1974 impeachment inquiry of President Nixon. So, Michael, we just heard Nadler say compliance is not optional, that the next step is contempt charges. But does that really have teeth?
Well, it depends on what Congress will do with the contempt citation. I mean, theoretically, the entire House has to vote on the contempt hearing. And if they do, Congress literally has the power to attempt to arrest Attorney General Barr. But the last time they did that was in 1935.
Right.
And so the option then is, do you go to court to seek a court order enforcing the contempt, or is it just simply a symbolic action and there are no practical consequences?
Because on paper, we understand that defying a congressional subpoena for testimony or documents is a misdemeanor crime. It's punishable by 1 to 12 months in jail. But it's rare that a Justice Department is going to charge an official who defies a subpoena if he defies it at the president's direction. I mean, there's so many ways to override this.
Well, and the idea that the Justice Department prosecutors are going to criminally prosecute their boss for contempt is a little far-fetched.
Yeah.
In this particular case, the question also is it just Barr who's being held in contempt, or is it the president who literally is instructing Barr not to provide the report?
Well, and you say that there is a way around this and that you feel it's almost a moral imperative for Congress to do that, and that's impeachment. Why does starting impeachment proceedings change things? Take us back to the Nixon era.
Sure, it'll change things fundamentally. So the same thing occurred in April of 1974 when the House Judiciary Committee, which then was conducting an impeachment inquiry, it had been authorized by the House by a vote of 410 to 4, issued subpoenas for what we now know are the White House tapes and documents. Mm-hmm. President Nixon defied the subpoena. In a staff report, and the staff that I served on as counsel, three options were listed that Congress could do. One is to hold a contempt proceeding, which is apparently under consideration right now. The second is to go to court to enforce the subpoena. And the third is to actually treat the resistance as itself an act of impeachment, an impeachable offense, in the sense that the president would be, or in this case, Barr would be, thwarting the congressional subpoena.
Well, and so articles of impeachment were voted on, and there was a final report from this committee that you counseled in 1974 to the House saying, unless the defiance of the committee subpoenas under these circumstances is considered grounds for impeachment, it's difficult to conceive of any president acknowledging that he's obligated to supply the relevant evidence necessary for Congress to exercise its constitutional responsibility for an impeachment proceeding. In other words, unless we do this, unless we consider this grounds for impeachment, we can't see it sets a precedent for other presidents always avoiding impeachment.
Absolutely. The logic of the committee was very strong, which was that Congress has the sole authority to consider impeachment. If the president can unilaterally frustrate their ability to investigate whether there's impeachable offenses, that itself can be an impeachable offense. And in the final report, and the report was from the committee to the full House, because the full House was going to vote. Now, meanwhile, President Nixon resigned. It never came to a vote in the full House. But it simply said the language you've very appropriately quoted, which is that if the president can frustrate Congress's sole executive power of impeachment by stonewalling, that itself can be grounds for impeachment.
So are you saying that this House today needs to open up at least an impeachment inquiry to demonstrate that this administration would not be cooperating with that? I mean, in other words, for the same reason as the one given in 1974, so it doesn't set a precedent.
Exactly. Right today, Congress is attempting, and the report today issued by the staff talks about congressional oversight for possible legislation. But the courts have said, and the Supreme Court has said, the power of Congress to enforce those subpoenas is not as strong in that context as it would be if there were an impeachment inquiry underway. It does not mean that Barr or Trump will actually be impeached. It means that Congress is launching an official impeachment inquiry to see whether they should be.
That's Michael Conway, counsel to the House Judiciary Committee in the impeachment inquiry of President Nixon in 1974, weighing in on today's events. Michael, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And we learned today that the House may vote on contempt charges against Barr on Wednesday. We will follow this story.